Welcome to Be Inspired with your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce, bringing you the right information right now to help you transform your mind, get more from life, and overcome adversity so you can enjoy more success. Accomplishments and adversity are two sides of the same coin. You have to overcome the adversity in order to see the results of the accomplishments. It's not just motivation, it's inspiration. If you want to be on the winning side of the coin, you'll want to tune in to the next hour. Now, here are your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're excited to be here with you. How's it going today, Stephen?
It's going awesome, Dr. Dindley. How's it going with you, sir?
Man, things are phenomenal. It's almost as hot in Chicago as it is there in Texas, I promise. Wow. Well, welcome to everybody back to the show, Be Inspired with James Dindley and Stephen Pierce. You know, last week, I know Stephen gave you some great insights on really how to get back up. You know, the challenges in life may come, but how do you really get back up? And he gave you a step-by-step blueprint on really how to step back up into your best life ever. And those challenges in life are really there to prepare you to be able to carry that championship trophy, to go out there and live your best life ever. So now we're going to talk about what do you need to do to change your life. So today's topic is do this and change your life. You know, we look at our lives and the way our paradigm, the way that we see the world and our place in it, the way that we think, the way that we kind of validate ourselves or our point of view, it always comes from somewhere. And everybody is anchored into those paradigms. They're anchored into those truths, those things that where something happened or the way we were raised or somebody said something and how we interpreted it, we kind of ran with it. And then situations start happening and then we start bouncing back and forth like that pinball, back and forth. So we're going to start off by just talking about asking the main question, how do you change your life and who you want to be instead of having the change until we don't want to be. How come we want to do the right things? We have goals to do the right things, but we end up doing the same old things and we don't really get the change in the outcomes that we really want in our lives. So I'm going to try to kick it off with you, Stephen. So let's talk about that. Just talk about the two dimensions, the dimensions of change and really why is it that most people that want to change, they're stuck in the same old habits. What are your thoughts?
Well, the thing to understand about change is that there are really two dimensions. There's really four because you have the speed of change where it can happen fast or it can happen slow, but that's all relative. So I don't really look at those as a part of the dimension of change. I look at the change dimension being external, where things are changing externally, like they can change in politics, like there was a change from Obama to Trump. Right. So there's all kinds of changes. You can have environmental changes. You can have economic changes. You can have relationship changes. You can have geographical changes. All of those things that are happening externally, of which most we're not able to control. But then there's those internal changes, the changing of our thoughts, the changing of our focus, the changing of our moods, the changing of our feelings. And interesting enough, the number one fact about change that we all need to kind of come to grips with is that it doesn't need our permission to happen. The world on the outside is not waiting for our permission for the economy to change for us or against us or for the job to change. People that got fired during the 2007-2008 collapse, hey, listen, they didn't want that change to happen. They probably weren't even expecting that change to happen, but it happened without their permission. So one of the things we have to understand is that, hey, listen, it's going to happen whether we want it to or not. Once we come to that understanding, we can then say, hey, listen, if change is going to happen, and it goes back to the point you were making when you opened up, how do we allow change to and take control of that change process as much as possible to allow change to mold and sculpt us to who we want to be, as opposed to allowing change to kind of pop us like a pimple and squeeze us into something that we really don't want to be. So with that, James, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, I would say, you know, when I look at just the demographics, I had a conference call last night and I was sharing with those individuals that when you look at the demographics of just the country and even the world, 70% of the people really won't do it. They're anchored in their thoughts. They're anchored in their belief. They don't want to shift. They're not open to new possibilities. They kind of shut down. Now, is that an absolute? Never. There's no absolute rights or wrong in any psychology or philosophy. However, 70% of the people just won't make the decision to do it. We know that 27% of the people are the people that for the most part, they want to get up off the couch. They want to go after it. They have the dream. They want to step into it. The key thing is that what is it that stops them from completing, going through the process of completion, where they found that euphoric happiness, because I believe that happiness and joy comes in completion. You know, when you complete something, when you graduate to right. something, when you accomplish something, there's a feeling and emotion that comes with it. There's something that goes on with it. And then there's 3% of the people that just go out there and they just do it. They operate on full throttle, and it's not that anyone's perfect, but they're the ones who flat out get it done. And everyone wants to get into the 3% in some shape, form, or fashion. When I say we don't want to do it, then what we're saying is that we really are afraid to get outside of our comfort zone, because you can adapt to any situation no matter what it is. But the bottom line is that I think that when you look at the dimensions of change, that it's going to really kind of be anchored in who you spend your time around, because unity creates separation. You know, if you're hanging around a lot of people doing some negative things, then and you get you get sucked into that, well, the positive people won't be around for the negative activity. If you're there with the pity party, the people who are positive and inspired, they're not going to be there with the pity party.
Right, right.
And the people out there making it happen on a high level, if you're plugged into that, if you have this ideal, this goal, these dreams, and if you really anchored into the change and the things we're going to talk about today on this show, then you're going to get swept up like this tsunami. And wherever the water goes, you have to go with it, because in every environment, either you influence it or it influences you. So change begins with the way we interpret things that happen in our lives. We put them as truths. We form these mechanisms, the defensive mechanisms that are supposed to keep us safe, but they also hold us back. So I want you to go a little bit deeper into the dimensions of change and just really how that change is external and how that change is internal. What are the real key differences?
Well, one of the things to keep in mind when you're thinking about the change itself is that change, in addition to problems, are two things that we're resistant to. We have this idea that we want to change our lives, which is interesting, because a person wants to change their life, but it requires them to change things for their life to change. And those things are the things they don't really want to change. For example, a person wants to change their health, but they don't really want to change their eating habits, or they don't want to change their inactivity, being on the couch, and go and start going to the gym and working out. So the whole idea that, hey, I want my life to change, well, it kind of goes through change, changing your ideas, changing your thoughts, changing your habits, changing your routines to have certain things change. Hey, listen, if I want to change my weight, rather I want to gain weight and gain muscle, or I want to lose weight and lose fat, it's going to require a prerequisite of change, meaning, okay, I need to change what I'm eating. I need to change what it is I'm doing. If I'm not going to the gym, I need to start going. And things like that. So what happens is we have a whole world of people that would love to have their life to change, but they're resistant to the changes they must decide to make on their own to allow those changes they say are ideal. For example, you want to grow a business because you want to change your finances. Well, you have to start to learn how to market and sell and build businesses. But then we don't want to do that because we want to spend time on Facebook or watching television or gossiping or playing video games or watching movies and doing all the other stuff that's normal for us and that we're comfortable doing. But it keeps us in that underperforming state. And then the other part is that, hey, guess what? Change creates problems. And going back to the point when the people were fired in 2007, 2008, hey, not just people getting fired, companies shut down. That was a change no one wanted, and that change created a problem. And that brings us to the point, because I want to talk, James, with you about 5 specific facts about problems. The first thing is that the path of progress that every single one of us want to make, that entire progress, that entire path is paved with what I call the brick and mortar of problems. In life, and here's where we kind of get confused. We tend to want to have this bias in life where we try to avoid as many problems as possible. And I kind of get that. But success is really based on not how many problems you can avoid, but how many problems you can solve. Hey, listen, the plumber can't be in business if he's like, man, I don't want people calling me with their water problems. The dentist can't be in business if he's like, I don't want people calling me with their dental problems. They are in the problem-solving business. So the progress they want to see is paved with, hey, I need people with cavities. I need people with yellow teeth. I need people with crooked teeth. I need people that have a problem that I can solve. What do you think about that, James? What do you want to add?
Well, first of all, you know, what you're saying is that everybody wants to have a happy, successful life. And everybody wants to have the life that they just imagine that they can live, the fullest life they can possibly have, to make an impact, to to perhaps get their time back, to be significant, to make a difference in the lives of others, to make people proud. But everybody wants that change. Everybody wants to have a strong and healthy body. Everybody wants to make more money or be able to give more. But they want to. But the challenge, I think, is that sometimes we want it, but we want it on our own terms. And it comes down really to the way that we choose to think, because it doesn't operate that way. It operates in a way that it operates. You know, it's amazing to me that the change, you know, I'll give you a good example, is that I never started achieving success, real success, until I took responsibility and I was willing to make the shift. I was willing to surrender to win and then realize that everything is always changing in our entire universe. Everything around us is always changing. You know, we began as a species with just, you know, just two little things that you can't even see on a microscope. That is the beginning of the entire human experience, and it's the change and the evolution of everything. Everything that we're discovering every single day in this country and in this world is all about change. Our hair, we used to have a full head of hair, and now the hair falls out. We could fit a size 20 blue jeans, and now we're at a 44. You know, it just is what it is. So changes is the one constant thing in life. And if we embrace that, decide to go with it, and realize that the problems prepare you. The problems prepare you. And if you really thought about it, why does a CEO make hundreds of millions of dollars or get this great big golden parachute, or they make $10, $20 million a year, and people complain and say, why are they worth that much money? Because they take on all the problems of everybody else in the organization or the company. So the problems will prepare you. The problems will build you if you're willing to embrace that and look at it a little bit differently and follow the path of some of the things we're going to talk about. And then if you're willing to embrace the path, to embrace that path of that's going to get you to the point that you really want to go to get outside of your comfort zone, to be able to say, well, what if my way is not the way? Because you can kind of measure that by where you are. My mentor told me a long time ago, Steve, and he said, James, back in 1994, he said, James, your financial intellect is equal to your bank account. And I want, and then inside of myself, I'm like, ouch, oots, ouch. I mean, he stepped all over me, and he didn't say it condescendingly. He didn't put me down. He just made a statement. He didn't know my financial situation, but I did. And at that moment, I made the decision to be willing to submit to a new philosophy, to trust and embrace and have that faith. You know, the thing we talk about on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings, based on what you believe on, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's the size of a grain of a mustard seed that can move mountains. So when you're willing to embrace the path that's going to get you on the path that's going to help you to be able to go towards success in your life, whatever you define it, however you want to define that, you got to be willing to let go of something to get to something else.
Yeah, you know, I want to add something, because you mentioned about like the CEO and his rate of pay, and once people kind of understand this, they can probably start to look at the problems differently. If you want to make more money, solve more problems. The rate of pay that you have right now is directly correlated to the quality and the size of the problems that you solve. And that's it. It's not what you want. It's not what you desire. It's how skillful you are at solving bigger, more valuable problems for the people that need those problems solved. You know, and that right there, that is the ticket. That is the key. People are like, I want to be paid more money. I used to always tell people, listen, if you want to create more wealth, create more value. How do you create more value? Find the biggest problems that people have and be the person that can solve them in such a way that they don't want anybody else to solve them. Yet we have a world that is, their whole thinking is, I don't want any problems. Hey, give me a problem-free existence. Man, that doesn't exist. We should be like, hey, how can I get better at solving problems? How can I graduate to being able to solve bigger problems? Because the bigger problems that I solve, the bigger money that I'm going to ultimately make. The more problems my company solves for more people, the more customers and clients and patients we're going to have, and the more income that's going to be flowing into the company. The shareholders are going to be more enriched. And everything starts with, how big of the problem can you solve? How often can you solve it? How many times can you solve it? And are you even willing to solve it in the first place? And that brings us to another point, James, and that's that us, you know, ourself, you, me, and everybody as an individual, our willingness to to embrace this change process, our willingness to adapt to the different problems that are thrown at us. That is the only thing that qualifies any one of us to be able to cash in on what it is we say we want, we wish for, and we desire, and we hope to experience. Because whatever it is you want, it's somewhere out there. And the gap between you and there is paved with a bunch of problems that you're going to have to come up to with solutions to. And if you are the person that wants to avoid the problems, you're never going to get to that promised land. So, James, before we go to break, what do you want to add to that?
Well, I tell you, you said a mouthful, and this is going to be a very, very touching subject here. Because if you think about it, every movie and every experience that we have, the people who overcome the challenges, that they're in the hole, and at the end of the movie, they triumph. And those are the people we shed a tear for. Those are the people that we shout for. Those are the people that impact and make the entire movie. Nobody ever gets a trophy for being the number one whiner. You know, nobody goes to attend that deal. But however, everybody has challenges. So all these examples are around us every single day. These examples, is they live in our spirit. So, you know, I always say when things go wrong, well, don't go wrong with them. You know, when they go crazy, don't you go crazy. When it goes mad, don't you go mad. Just think about what's the next right thing and seek counsel if you don't know. But the bottom line is you can also make a list of all your possible solutions and then pick the best one from that. You know, so this is a very touching topic for me because I live in a world just like you, Stephen, where we work with people. We've been working with people, close to 2 million people that we've been able to be in front of. And that's such an honor and a blessing. And when you can't do that without really caring about people, you don't do it because people can stress you out, man. People can bring, because they bring their stuff in there. They bring their energy to you. But right. Again, when you get good at solving problems and also get good at growing, no matter how great you are, even let's just say you're the CEO of a major company and you're doing well right now. You're very successful, but you always can get better. There's always more. We're never going to have it all. We're never going to be totally complete. So the problems in life, they're going to arise, but how are we going to respond to those problems? And that's what this show is all about. How are we going to respond to that as we identify what it is, admit it, know there's a solution, and then start DC diving into that solution.
Right. And when we get back from break, I'm going to ask, it's like the biggest question about your current problem. And when we get the answer to this question, we can then start to make some real significant progress in solving the problems for ourselves or for other people.
Man, make it simple, Dr. Pierce. Make it simple.
Dr. Dentley, we'll be right back after this.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Sustainable success is just around the corner. If you are an entrepreneur, business leader, or anybody looking for their next level of success, tune into Sustainable Success with host Chris Salem. Did you know that the path to success is a long path that started many years ago? The path you started on then determines what is happening now. Chris and his amazing guests in their field will help you navigate the path to sustainable success every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
What is the real social impact that those in the entertainment industry are making? Indie Vision Radio with host Scott C. Brown, the founder of the Indie Vision Project and Maxit Magazine, is a personal conversation about their work in the industry and the impact they're having on humanity. From world health to world peace, you're given a true behind-the-scenes look at what those working in the indie realm are doing to make a positive influence on the world. On the Influencers Channel, tune in to Indie Vision Radio, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America.
It's time to elevate yourself and your business to the next level. What are the secrets of business success? Discover them on Key Entrepreneurs of Influence with your host, Kieran Sweeney. Find out who the business owners are that stand out in their respective industries and what they can teach you. The program contains valuable advice that can cost thousands through a professional consultant. Key Entrepreneurs of Influence can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Hey, welcome back. You know, I just want to say this before we go back into Do This and Change Your Life. You know, I just want to just say publicly acknowledge, you know, that when I had this vision to start NBC University about 9 years ago, you know, we wanted to get out there as a success education company and looked at all the other programs that were taking place around the country and throughout the world. And how can we take the best practices that they had, and not that they had anything that was negative, but how can we make it better? How can we create more value? How can we create better outcomes? How can we get better results, real results that would show up in the lives of people from their own lips and their own hearts and those testimonials as well? So me getting by myself getting a chance to watch Mr. Pierce and get a chance to know him from afar and then more up close and work directly with him every single day, I would tell you guys, I am just extremely honored and very humbled and really strengthened and blessed to have Mr. Stephen Pierce to be a part of this show, because I tell you how talented, you've been able to hear him and listen to him, but how talented and gifted he is. But he's also a student of what he talks about. He lives in this space. He dives in it, you know, and none of us have perfect paths. None of us, they're listening. None of us do as well. But I will tell you this, that I'm honored right now, because the difference that we aspire to make in the lives of each and every one of you is what's most important. That's what this show is all about, to be inspired, to be able to inspire each and every you and you, each and every one of you. And then you inspire us by the successes that you have, because it all means something to us. It all means something to us. We're all connected here, and we're all here to make a difference. So we want to talk about how to do this and change your life. So, Stephen, go ahead and pick up where you left off. We were talking about different key points that you have to understand about problems and dealing with problems and understanding them.
I certainly will. And, James, Dr. Dentley, I definitely appreciate that. It's an honor, and it's fun working with NBC University and doing this show and doing the different events. Hey, we're not here for fame. There's all kinds of ways you can go about getting that. Our thing is about inspiring people, making a difference, and moving people from stuck states and getting them out there so they can live their best possible lives and live a life that's memorable and become that beacon of hope for people that are looking at them as well. So that's why we're here. This is what we do. Now, that question that I was talking about that James wants me to get into that I mentioned before we went to the break. The question is, when you're having a problem, many of us, we just focus on that particular problem, that problem, that problem, that problem. But a question that I propose that you ask is this problem a symptom of a higher level problem? And the reason why that's an important question to ask is because if you're dealing with a problem, but you're dealing with a symptom, then you're only treating the symptom. And while the symptom can be suppressed and go away, it is likely to come back again because the root cause of it has not been dealt with. For example, if you have a runny nose. Right now, a runny nose. Yeah, that's about nobody wants to walk around with the nose running. So that can end up being a problem. And you may take something for that, you know, you whatever you may take for that. However, we're treating the symptoms. Right. What was the cause of it? OK, maybe it was the cold. But what caused the cold? Right. Is it a compromised immune system because you're not really that healthy? Right. You're not getting the proper nutrients. You're eating a bunch of food that has empty calories. So you eat a ton of food and you're getting the calories and you're getting the carbohydrates. But because you don't have the nutrients, you're constantly hungry. Or let's just say you're having an allergic reaction to something. Well, you can take all the different over the counter or maybe a prescribed allergy medicine that's treating the symptoms. But what was the cause? Was it a food allergy that you're unaware of, nuts or something like that? Or who knows? The whole point is when we have certain problems in our life, let's get to the root cause. And guess what? Sometimes we're the root cause. Hey, I have a problem. And the reason I have this problem is because I procrastinated. The reason I have this problem is because I ignored this person or that person. The reason I have this problem is because I didn't own my responsibility. So sometimes, or I would say basically all the time, what we want to do is we want to look at the problem and say, hey, listen, is this a symptom of something else that I'm missing? Because if it is, and you missed what's causing it, almost guaranteed every single time, you're going to revisit that problem. So, hey, yeah, we want to treat the symptoms, but it's better to treat the actual problem itself. And how do we do that? We need to take action. And this is where we're going to get into the do this and change your life. However, when it comes to action, though, it's about taking specific action, not just general action. And there's 7 specific, what we call change it actions that you can take that can help you to change your life. Like one of the first things you can do is when you're looking at a situation, that requires corrective action, right? Hey, this thing needs some type of corrective action to be taken, then what you want to do is fix it. Your response is to fix it where something needs to be corrected. Does that make sense, James? You want to add anything to that one?
Absolutely, man. Well, no, keep going, man. We got six more to go here, but fix it. Corrective action is very simple. If it's something that's not working for you, then fix it. You can impact that right away. That's something that can happen in a flicker of an eye. You just shift gears and just fix it, or you turn around on a dime. You turn and go the opposite direction or go in a different direction. But you solve that because it's right there in front of you. Take corrective action and make it happen.
Right, right. Now, and by the way, just in case you're wondering, I promise you none of the solutions is going to be ignore it. We don't have an ignore it thing because it is a problem. Mm-hmm. We don't want to ignore it. That is not amongst our selection of actions that it is that we can take. Now, if you're looking at a problem and a boosting or a modification action is needed, then you want to improve it. Right. So notice that we have a very specific response. It's almost like a playbook on how we respond to different things, because different situations are going to require a different type of response. We know one is, hey, you know what? I need to fix this right here. I'm not going to complain about it. And if I do, I'm still going to fix it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to push it off to someone else. Hey, I'm going to fix it. Or, hey, this thing right here, I need to improve it, right? And fixing something and improving something are two totally different things. We're not going to dive into that. You can just grab a dictionary and look at fix and improve, and you'll see the difference, right?
Amen.
So if you're looking at something and it's like, hey, a termination action is needed, that means eliminate it, right? If you have an employee that is not doing what it is they're supposed to do, that's the termination action, you know, especially if you have like a one strike, two strike, three strike, or you have write-ups or something like that. That is not an improve it situation. If you have a system and process in place on how your human resources handle business, that is a eliminate it. It could be the same thing with a toxic relationship. Sometimes we give the wrong response. We have a relationship that is a very toxic relationship and we're trying to fix it, when it's one of the things where the appropriate action is to eliminate it. But sometimes we don't want to eliminate it because we are afraid of being alone or whatever that may be for us on the other side of that person not being there, or those groups of people not being there, even though we know that environment is a toxic environment for us, right? And perhaps James and I, we can actually go into that topic on another episode. So again, when you're looking at something and you know a termination action is required, that means, hey, I got to eliminate this. It can be a bad habit. Hey, you know what? Eating a full-size pizza before bed every day, I got to eliminate that, right? Especially if I know I'm looking to, you know, be healthier and be fit and lose some weight and burn some body fat, right? It's an eliminate it type of thing, not a compromise it, eliminate it. Another thing is, if you're looking at a situation and a development action is needed, meaning something needs to be developed, then you create it. It's something you create, like a new habit may need to be developed to help you to change your life. That is a create it. There's nothing to improve if you're not even doing it yet. So an improve it action is not even a selection. So it's like, hey, you know what? This is a developmental action. I need to develop a certain habit. I need to develop a certain mindset. We need to develop a certain schedule. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create it, right? So hopefully right now we've already given you four: fix it, improve it, eliminated, or created. Anything you want to add to those, James?
I want to add to that. You can count on it. You know, it's so amazing because we started off talking about the first thing you said is that you don't want to ignore it. But the question is, why do we ignore those challenges? You know, this started off being about the whole question. The thing was the change of actions you can take to change your life. Now, ignore it can't be one of that, because ignoring it does not invoke any type of change whatsoever. So the question I would propose to you before we go through the last three is that maybe we can have this conversation about why is it that we ignore it. And I want to preface it like this. You know, I started off by saying that there's 70% of the people in a population who are just not going to do it. They're not. They haven't made the decision. Now, I don't get to identify who they are, but they're not. You know, statistics show us from the Social Security Administration in this country that 97% of all people will work until retirement age and depend on family, friends, and the federal government. And now the federal government right now is having conversations about cutting those benefits that affect every single person that's going in that direction. So it's not getting better, it's getting worse. So ignoring it is not the answer. But let's talk about Why do people ignore it? Where is that fear coming from? What is it about that, that they just don't, that a person doesn't want to face because it's too difficult? And before you answer, I want to just tell a story about the unknown soldier. Soldier was captured in war and was put into prison. And every day they would take one of the captive soldiers out and they would put him in front of the firing squad and they would shoot him and they would kill him. And then this unknown soldier, it was his time to go before the firing squad. And when he got against the wall, a lieutenant walked up to him and said, look, I'm going to give you the same offer I've given all of your comrades. We can shoot you here and you're going to die. Well, you can go through this door marked unknown horrors. Through there, there's things out there that will surely eat you alive and tear you apart. You know, if you can't survive that, it's going to be a horrific death. Which one would you like? And he said, I want to die like all the rest of my comrades. You see, he conformed to what everybody else just did. And they shot him. And the sergeant went up to the lieutenant and he said, you know, how come every single person wants the firing squad? What's beyond that door? And the lieutenant looked at the sergeant and said, there's freedom behind that door. But people would rather choose a known hell to unknown heaven. So right, I want to go a little bit about into that. Let's talk about what causes that person to get stuck and to ignore it, as if the mold is just going to fall off all by itself.
Well, it goes back to the, we don't like to deal with problems, and it's problem avoidance. And the interesting thing is that it is really about hiding from our greatness, because when a problem shows up, it shows you how great you are in that moment to handle it and makes you even greater as a result of handling it. But because we just don't want to deal with problems, because maybe in our mind, I know we always seek leisure, but we don't think we're capable. We don't think that we're able. We don't think that we're sufficient enough. We don't think we're good enough, strong enough, or smart enough. And these are lies that we tell to ourselves so long and so often. We've come under our own hypnosis, and we believe that. So we feel the best thing to do, kind of like procrastination, is to delay the pain and ignore it and act like it doesn't exist and go off and do something that keeps us distracted, eat food, gossip, watch television, and kind of like zone out, if you will. But that problem, it just grows. It grows and it grows. It's like an unattended weed. You can ignore the weed, but the weed is going to continue to grow. Your ignoring it is not going to make it disappear.
Exactly.
You know, and we do gardening, and I would tell my wife, hey, why can't the fruits and vegetables grow like the weeds? You know, why can't they just do their thing? And why can't we just have to plant the weeds? Because that's not how life teaches us a lesson, right? That would be just too easy to be able to do. So this whole idea of the familiarity, right? We want to stick with what we're familiar with, what it is we know, because what it is we currently know, like James was talking about, that known hell, although it's hell and although it's painful, is something you're familiar with. It's something that you can anticipate, even if you know it's going to be painful, at least it's something you know. But you have no idea what's on the other side, what's on the other side of that door, what's around that corner. It could be more painful. It could be delightful. But because we don't know, and many of us are afraid of the unknown, we prefer to just shrink back instead of being adventurous and saying, hey, whatever is on the other side, I'm going to embrace it. Because we don't know, we let it go and say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to stick with where it is I'm at. And then we don't grow as a result of that. Our life doesn't improve. What we want to become and who we want to become and what we want to do, have, and be and contribute, it's not going to be found sticking where it is we currently are. It's going to require us to make a decision to go outside into those areas of the unknown. The earth as you see it today would never be here, from technology to communications to lands to communities of people and the way we all interact today, if everyone remained in the place of familiarity and what it is they know. People had to go out and do something that hadn't been done before, go to a place that no one had visited, try an idea that has not been proven. And as a result of that, you make new discoveries, not only external discoveries, but you discover things about yourself, that you can do it, that you are capable, you are enough, you are smart enough, you are strong enough. You just have to go out there and say, I'm going to do it. James?
Yeah. Look, I know we got more to cover, but as you're saying this, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm looking, and I said, wow, you know, there's a stapler, and that stapler was designed to solve a problem. I have an electric pencil sharpener. It solves another problem, a calculator, a telephone, the computer, the hole puncher, the little racks that hold paper, and I can separate papers and organize my desk a lot better. picture frames, all of these things that have been created by people, people who have been able to make our lives better, people, some have made millions, some even billions of dollars, people who have been able to fund their dreams and bring hope and make a shift in their family's future generation because they took something simple, that something, and this is in all of us have this. Right. All of us has it. When what Stephen is trying to say is that you matter. You're good enough. You always were good enough. You have it inside of you, and the world's waiting for you. And what happens when you don't step into that or give it a shot? And if you fall down, you give it another shot and another shot. The average millionaire tries 17 different things. It goes flat broke 3.2 times. There are problems, but those problems make you better. They make you stronger. They make the story more fascinating. They make it watchable. They make it livable. That's what we want to applaud for. How you overcome those things. So, look, we spent a lot of time on that. Let's go into anticipate it. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned, before I get into that, you mentioned give it a shot. And, you know, I don't remember, this was like a long time ago. I heard somebody, I either read the quote or heard somebody say it. They said, and maybe you know who said it originally. They said, the big shots are the little shots that kept shooting. True. You ever heard that before?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the big shots are the little shots that kept shooting. Those little shots, they kept missing, kept missing, kept missing, but they would eventually hit that bullseye, and that's how they became the big shots. Now, let's talk about preparation type of action, you know, preparing. If you see something that, hey, you know what, I need to be prepared for this, then you want to anticipate it, right? So when you buy a home alarm from an alarm company, that is preparation. Right. You're not sitting there waiting for someone to rob your house, but you want to make sure that if you're anticipating that if it does happen, you have something in place to take care of that. Right. So that's preparing action. Hey, you know, you're going for a trip. Hey, what's going to happen on this trip while I'm going from this country to that country? And based on what you anticipating it, you will pack accordingly. And another thing is preventive action. Preventive action. If you see something that you don't want to have happen, then you take some type of preventive action. For example, a building. They don't want the place to catch fire. So a preventive action is a do not smoking sign, a no smoking sign. That is a preventive action to let everybody know, hey, no smoking here. Now, a preparation action, an anticipation of maybe somebody smoking or a fire breaking out by some other means is they have a fire alarm, they have a sprinkler system, they have fire extinguishers. That right there is in anticipation of if a fire actually breaks out. So hopefully you can see how this level of thinking and how you start to scope the actions you take can help you to take better and smarter actions. And real quickly before we go to break, a comprehension action. If something needs to be understood, then look to understand it. That means you take an action to help you to comprehend something that requires you to be fully aware of and be able to know. James, anything you want to add before we go to break?
Well, right before we go to break, if you think about it, if you work in a factory, you already have to think this way. You have to be proactive in the thinking. If you're with the Secret Service, you think that way. If you have children, you're going to take them out to the park or you want to take them swimming, you're going to anticipate it. You're going to prevent it. You're going to understand it. You're going to already be ahead of these things. So we come back, maybe we can touch on how come we just don't do it in our own lives. That's interesting.
Yeah,
let's take a break, come right back, and let's deep sea dive a little bit more into how to change your life.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Are you finding your frequency? It can be described as that space between failure and success. It's the future of digital media. It's finding your voice. It's engaging topics, content, and ideas. Jeff and Ryan discuss the digital media space and all of its aspects. It's about making the mistakes, taking the chances, summoning the intestinal fortitude to step out of your comfort zone, and discovering what you can accomplish when you decide to try, decide to learn, decide that you have something to say, and find your frequency. Live Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Want to improve your health, business, and life just by listening to a radio show? Well, we can at least move you in the right direction. Listen for Spotlight, the Allison H. Larson Show. Each week, Allison will speak with amazing guests and find out what's changed their lives and how they are changing the lives of others. From beauty to health to business and personal relationships, we're here to inspire you to live your life of passion. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Are you ready for provocative discussions with some of today's most powerful movers and shakers? Tune in to The Art of Significance, featuring Dan Clark, the modern-day Napoleon Hill, who interviews the wealthiest, most successful celebrities and business leaders on the planet, who are using their influence to change the world. From authors to entertainers, sports figures, educators, to military leaders, Dan covers multiple topics. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Change starts here. Change starts now. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to Be Inspired. This is James Dittley along with Stephen Pierce. We just finished talking about the seven specific change in actions you could take to change your life. But now we're going to move into the seven change transitions to make real changes that matter. Now we're going to deal with the solutions. Are you ready? Hold on to your seatbelts. One, two, three, Stephen, what's number one attached?
Number one. Hey, James, before I get to number one, you were talking about right before we went to break, you said, you know, how people do certain things already, like, you know, going to the beach and different things like that with the kids. And like, why don't people do this for their own lives? And what I think is that people don't really realize that your brain requires a lot of energy, a lot of glucose. And it is stated that thinking is one of the hardest things that you can do. In fact, that when you think really hard and you're engaged in a lot of mental work, your brain will suck up more glucose than any other organ in your body. And you can look at the research through different neurologists and Scientific American magazine and different things like that. They'll tell you that thinking requires a lot of energy. So if you're not even getting the proper nutrients in your system where you're properly energized, then you're going to want to avoid heavy thinking activities. Or let's just say you're trying to engage in thinking, but you get distracted. It's hard for you to study and concentrate. Your brain has the capacity, but if you're not providing it with the proper fuel, then you're undermining your own potential for you to be able to fully engage your brain and engage your mind in your life to be able to get the best out of yourself in the best life while you're here. So one of the reasons that people don't really engage in that mind work is they're so tired. It's so exhausting. They don't feel like thinking. And a lot of it has to do with not having the proper nutrition so that our brain has the proper fuel so that we can have that energy to go about thinking. Okay, now to the transition.
Wait, first of all, well, that explains it. Thanks.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, and that's why people like to turn off and tune out and just watch mindless television. It doesn't take mental energy to watch television. It doesn't take mental energy to listen to music. It doesn't take mental energy to gossip. It doesn't take mental energy to do that kind of stuff. When you're sitting there thinking and creating and thinking strategically and thinking critically, that requires a lot of brain energy. And we are becoming so dumbed down as a society through entertainment. We are basically, it's like that old saying, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's like muscles. Your muscles will start to weaken if you're not using it. And then it becomes harder to go lift weights in the gym if you haven't been there for a while or you haven't been there at all. It's the same thing with your brain because it's a muscle. And if you're not exercising it, it's weak. So you want to do the thing that's more comfortable and that continues to feed that weakness. And that's watching movies and television. Not that it's wrong, but I mean, if it's something you do all the time, then you're not strengthening your brain as a result of that. But you know, we should probably just do a whole show on that. So let's get to the transitions before we close out. One transition, and this kind of goes into something we were covering quickly in our first episode, is going from one thing to the other, right? So being attached versus being detached. we can become so attached to an outcome or so attached to an environment or so attached to, for example, if you are attached to what people say about you, you're going to live a completely different life as opposed to being detached. Because if you're attached to what people say about you, then you're probably going to have this people-pleasing personality, and you're going to do things just so people will speak well of you, even if it's something that you really don't want to do. You'll find yourself doing stuff that you don't want to do and living your life up to the impressions of those that are around you. However, if we move from being attached to what they think and feel and say about us to the point of being detached, now you have the freedom and the liberty to live your life regardless, because people want to think and say things about you regardless of what you do. But because you're not attached to it, you're not trying to live your life filtered through it because, oh, what are they going to say if I do this? Or what are they going to think if I do that? Or now that no longer becomes a filter, and that liberates you to be able to live your true life and be your true self and discover your true identity, which for many people, it is covered by the layers of what they're being to get the approval of those people that are around them. James, you want to add anything to that?
Well, I'm still on the last topic with a big smile on my face, Stephen, because now I want for all the men out there, if your significant other says to you, you went to sleep while I was talking to you, say, no, honey, I was not sleeping. I was really thinking very hard about the topic you were, because it was such of importance to me. I was thinking so much, my glucose levels dropped, and I got thinking. Thank you very much, Dr. Pierce.
Well, you're welcome. And we have the scientific evidence to back it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, listen, I know we're going to be winding down soon, so let's go to the next one. The next one is moving from reacting to watching, right? You're being that observer of what's going on, because there can be so many different things that happen in our environment. Like, let's just say there's this person that does something to you, and you immediately react to it in anger or upset or something like that. Well, you can choose to watch what that person does that makes you upset. But again, it kind of goes back to being detached, because when you're heavily associated and attached to that, what that person is doing, that's going to get that reaction out of you. But if you're detached, now you have this space in between you and what they're doing where you can be the watchful person. You can be the observer, as opposed to the person that's constant in reaction mode. You know, you don't want to be like this ball in a pinball machine, bouncing off of everything that's going on in your environment. This person said that person wrote this, that person did this. Now you're in this constant reaction mode to everything and everyone. So we can just become detached from it and just start to watch, just start to look at what's going on. And one of the things I like to do sometimes is say, well, that's interesting. And it's a practice, though. It's not going to be automatic. It's a practice. So sometimes you may find yourself reacting, and then you want to catch yourself. Hey, let me reel this back in. Catch my breath, and then let me just observe what this person is doing. Let me watch what this person is doing and see what's going on. And one thing you're going to find when you do that is many times when someone is doing something, they want to get a reaction out of you. And when they can no longer get that reaction out of you, they will actually stop doing it, because they're not getting their fulfillment by ticking you off or getting you stir crazy or whatever it is, whatever mode you go into based on what it is they're doing. Another thing we can do is, instead of resisting, we can flow with it. Instead of resisting, we can just flow with it. In life, we tend to resist reality. It shouldn't be this way. Well, it is, right? It doesn't mean you have to like it, but it is that way. So when we sit there and argue with reality, we're not going to be making any progress. So what we want to do is just flow with where we are in the moment. Whatever happened, win, lose, or draw, whatever's going on in the moment, that is the reality. Now, of course, we have our own perceptions and we have our own perspectives. So how we're going to experience it, it's going to be quite different than what's actually going on. And that's just how our brains work. But one thing that we can commit to doing is just, hey, I'm going to be accepting and flow in that particular moment. And when we do that, here's the interesting part. If you're resistant, and like I used to practice Wing Chun, and one of the things that we did in Wing Chun is we used to always flow with the energy of the person, not resisting that person's energy. Because what would happen is when you're pushing them, they're pushing back, and then all of a sudden you're exerting so much energy. But when you're flowing with their energy based on touch with the wrist or the forearm, you'll find that openings start to appear for you to attack or defend, like and Wing Chun is called the center line. For those that practice Wing Chun or any type of martial arts, you probably know what I mean by the center line. You're always protecting the center line, but you're not protecting it with force or resistance. You're flowing, and something that comes across the center line, you don't really try to resist it. You flow it off of the center line. So, I mean, interesting stuff, though. Interesting stuff. So the whole point is, think about how you can flow with what's going on in your life. That flowing does not mean you like it. Flowing means there's a level of acceptance, and you're going to flow, accept what has come to you right now, and then see how you can use it. It's very difficult to see how you can use your current circumstances and your current situation if you're arguing with it and you're resisting it. Because remember, where you are is your only starting point. You can't start from yesterday, and you can't start from the future. You can only start from where you are. So the longer you argue with reality and you're resisting where you are, the more time you're burning up from being able to just start getting going with your life from where it is you are, right? Do you want to add anything to that, James?
No, we're going to keep flowing. We got a few more minutes left before the show ends, and we're just going into fighting it versus surrendering to it.
Okay.
You got to go with the tide. But go ahead.
Yep. You're right. And we want to get through it before we close out. So the fourth thing you can do is, instead of judging it, accepting it. And it kind of goes with not resisting but flowing, because certain things can happen, right? You just accept it. Somebody can do something and you really don't like it. And you can get into a huge argument and a huge debate. You can judge the person. You can judge the situation. And guess what? You can probably be right. But what are you going to win at the end of the day? Probably nothing. So accept it. Hey, I remember the day I woke up and I was like, dude, you're big. Well, you know what? I could sit there all day long and judge myself in the mirror for all the overeating I did and the lack of activity and all this other kind of stuff. Or I can accept it. And from that place of acceptance, I'm not resisting it. And now I can have clarity on what to do to move forward from that. It's the same thing in business, in every area of your life, right? Another thing, the fifth thing, move from fighting it to surrendering to it. Don't fight. Now, that seems similar to resisting and flowing, but it's not. A lot of us, we like to argue with people. Sometimes you get into those heavy debates and heavy arguments, but you want to pick your battles. Sometimes, like if you're married, you know, your husband or your wife may have something to say, and you may want to get into a fight, an argument. Sometimes you just surrender and just let the person speak their peace. Because it is better to allow them to speak their peace, even if you have something to say. But many of us, we just want to be heard, and we have to have the last word. Why? Why can't you just flow with what's going on, accept that they may be upset, and instead of fighting that person, trying to justify your position, validate their feelings? You know, if a person's feeling a certain way, you can't tell them they don't feel that way or how you're feeling, and then just surrender to it. Right. The other thing is, the sixth thing is, instead of shrinking from it, step into it. And this really deals with fear. Many of us, when something comes up and we're afraid, we will shrink back from it. When there's the unknown, we will shrink back from it. When it's something we haven't experienced before, we will shrink back from it instead of stepping into it. Whatever it is you want to accomplish is going to be on the other side of something you step into. It's not going to be behind you when you shrink back to your past or you shrink back to how things currently are or how things were. So when we have that opportunity to do something that we haven't done before, to create something that we never experienced before, instead of shrinking back from that unknown, going back to what Dr. Dentley was talking about earlier, you know, the soldier, you know, he picked the firing squad as opposed to the door. Instead of shrinking back from that, step into it with great faith and great determination. And then the seventh thing, and then I'll turn it over to James so we can close out, is instead of closing down, open up. Instead of shutting down, open up, right? Maybe you're the person that didn't used to talk a lot. Now talk. Maybe you never used to ask questions. Now you can ask questions. And closing down versus opening up is doing the opposite of those things you weren't doing because you were afraid or people were going to be looking at you or people were going to be judging you or whatever. So instead of closing down to what people may think or say or what's going on in the environment, you open up to it. Those things, those seven things will create liberation in your life and free you up to begin to change and experience your best possible life. Dr. Dentley, would you like to add anything as we close out?
Well, look, we've given you the seven keys right now to begin to change your life. And just remember that you're predestined to win. You're built to win. All of us are. You're built to win is based upon the decisions that we make and how do we respond to the adversities and the problems and changes in life and just adhere to the things we've been talking about this week. And if you missed last week, go back to the show notes on last week or go back to the recordings on last week. Go back to voiceamerica.com and look at our show and go back to the week before that because we're simply attaching the dots. You know, we're here to win. We're here to win in the biggest way because the world is dependent upon each and every one of you under the sound of my voice. You know, Vince Lombardi said that winning is not a sometime thing. Winning is an all-the-time thing. You don't just do the right thing every once in a while. You do the right thing consistently all of the time. But remember that winning is a habit. That means you start winning, your winning will become a part of you. But so is losing. So remember that when somebody said that it could not be done, he or she with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but they'd be the one that would not give in till they tried. So just buckle right in with kind of a grin on their face. If they worried, they hit it. And they started to sing as they tackled the thing that could not be done, yet they did it. Stand in the midst of all adversities, step into it, and remember, fight it or surrender to it. The choice is yours. Surrender to it and you win. You can spring from it or you can step right into it. You can build that muscle, determination, and faith and confidence and the strength that you need to overcome the next battle that's going to be coming before you. You can close down or you can open up. And when you open up, that means you got the capacity, your capacity to be able to handle things grows. And what seems big to you now will seem like child's play in the future. Instead of judging and accept it, instead of resisting, flow, instead of reacting, watch, instead of getting attached to it, detach from it. Nothing has the meaning except the meaning that you choose to give to it. This is going to conclude our show this week, guys. We've enjoyed speaking with you guys on behalf of Stephen Pierce. This is James Dentley. We're going to sign off for now, but join us next week. Invite all of your friends. Go to our Facebook page, Be Inspired as well, and check us out. For all of you speakers and trainers and coaches out there, I want to give you a special gift today. Go to our website, Inspired to Speak, inspired2speak.com/freebook. And download your free book, What Every Speaker Should Know Before They Utter One Word. You know, your communication is all tied into your success. And we're going to connect the dots and continue to go forward and forward until we create the success stories that you guys are winning until you get sick of winning. This ends our show. God bless each and every one of you all. We'll see you next week on Be Inspired.
Thank you for listening to Be Inspired. Be sure to join James Dentley and Stephen Pierce for another inspiring show next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Until we talk again, be inspired to live your best life ever.